Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 278 of the Falcoholic Live. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by my guest this evening. He is Aaron Freeman, at Locked On Falcons. Aaron, welcome back to the show. We last had you on after the Senior Bowl, so it's only fitting that we have you on after the second, you know, or first biggest, depending on how much of a Senior Bowl truther you are, event on the calendar in the NFL Combine now. Aaron, welcome back. How you doing?
I appreciate you having me on, Kevin. It's good to catch up after the last big draft event with the Combine and whatnot. But obviously, you know, the draft is, 7 weeks away? And it's like free agency happens, and it's always the big sort of like bomb that gets dropped on whatever you think the draft is going to be. Free agency just completely tears it up. And so it's like we just got to wait and see what happens. And obviously the Falcons can be big movers and shakers this year.
Oh, yeah, and we sort of expect them to be. And it's funny because the biggest, you know, news coming out of the Combine, or rumors at least, are not to do with the draft at all and more to do with free agency. It seems like it happens that way every year because, you know, whether teams admit it or not, they're in there probably heavily tampering with one another and, you know, sussing out free agency and who's going to walk and who's not and all this good stuff.
Yeah. It's a lot of dirt in their eyes because they just keep winking at each other when they use all these euphemisms for what they're really talking about.
Just saying, you know, if you in this, you know, very unlikely scenario, can't confirm or deny that we're even speaking now, if so-and-so was to become a free agent, you know, would he be interested in moving to the East Coast or the West Coast? You know, I'm just trying to get an idea here. You know, my hashtag sources are telling me, but ridiculousness. But obviously, title of the show, the biggest buzz coming out of the Combine is that the Falcons might be very, very interested in veteran quarterback Kirk Cousins. There's a lot of reasons why it would make sense. There's some significant risks associated with it. We're going to break down those rumors and talk about, you know, how realistic is it? Do we buy any of it? What does it mean? And of course, we'll talk about the Combine too, because some fantastic record-breaking performances in this year's Combine. Really deep group of players at wide receiver, at edge. A lot of great stuff to get to tonight. So we're going to dive into all that. But before we do, real quick, guys, let me bring you a quick word from tonight's sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Folks, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. March Madness is going to be starting very soon, and BetOnline will have everything you need, including up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends. You can follow your favorite college and NBA team's path to the playoffs or the top of that March Madness bracket with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props out there. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile devices. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right. So, Aaron, let's just tackle the topic right off the bat. I know I've been spending the last couple days trying to explain to people that Kirk Cousins coming to Atlanta first, like, wasn't a crazy thing to think. Then, even though, like, I'm still team Justin Fields, like, my opinion on, like, going after Justin Fields has not changed at all. Like, it's still my top choice, but, like, somehow I feel like I'm, like, defending the Kirk Cousins to Atlanta as, like, a legitimate strategy. I know you're a little bit higher on Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. I think, is it your top choice of, like, the free agent type stuff, or what is your sort of preference at this stage?
I mean, in terms of free agents, in terms of veteran options, like, my preference would be the draft. My preference would obviously be hoping that somebody in the top three is stupid enough to pass on a quarterback or willing to trade back for us to get a quarterback. But I don't think that's going to happen. So to me, the most realistic scenario is the Falcons get a veteran. And I think Kirk Cousins is the best bet that this regime realistically was going to make. I don't think it's a slam dunk. It would definitely work out sort of move, but there is risk to it. But, like, I think it's probably the best bet that this team is going to make. And again, we can elaborate further on some of the reasons why, though.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like the most, and I love you guys, I love all of you fans, I'm not necessarily trying to call anyone in particular out, but the most annoying thing I think fans do is say, like, oh, we can just wait. You know, we should just, like, punt. Or, like, oh, well, why don't we just, like, trade up into the top three? And it's like, sure, yes, like, trading up into the top three would be great. Like, I think there are some very intriguing options there. I think there's, you know, I like all the top three quarterbacks. But, like, I think what fans need to understand is that while we can say, oh, well, we'll just do that, it takes, first of all, it takes a partner to do that. Second of all, it means you have to outbid the other probably seven teams that are trying to also do that. And, like, it also means that if you can't get a deal done to do this trade up before free agency starts, then there's a very good chance you walk into that draft and you don't execute the trade you need, and then you have nothing. And most teams just can't do that. Like, that's not the way this works. You can't just walk into the draft diamond hand style and, like, be like, okay, we're going to pull this off draft day three, you know, three layers deep of trades. And just, like, teams can't take that kind of risk and expect to keep their jobs. And I think what fans need to understand about the Falcons is that, yes, there's a new coach coming in, but this is not the Arthur Smith scenario where it was, okay, we're going to do this slow, methodical rebuild sort of thing, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to fix the cap and all this. The cap has been fixed. The methodical rebuild is over. Like, yes, it's a new coach coming in, but this is not the same style that we're going to get. So, I mean, I don't know why people seem to think that they're going to be able to wait and just execute some kind of long-term strategy. Like, they need to win football games now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? Like, imagine you just got hired by Arthur Blank and he's like, okay, Raheem, you got the job. What's the plan? And he's like, hey, let's just do it exactly how the guy you just fired did it. It's all about the process and we'll figure out the results later. It's like, you got to get results, guys. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's a results business. That's why Arthur Smith is not the coach. That's what Raheem Morris is talking about. And betting on Russell Wilson is basically betting on Marcus Mariota. You're just basically, here's a bridge and we'll punt. And then we'll just punt it down the sea. This guy got fired for that. He just got fired for doing those things. The last time this team was good, they had a veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan. They had weapons, right? Raheem Morris was here the last time this team was in the playoffs. You think, what is his strategy going to be? How did we do it in the Rams? We had a veteran quarterback in Jared Goff and Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford took us to a different level because he was better than Jared Goff. So let's get a good quarterback. And, like, Kirk Cousins, we'll sit here and argue all day, how good a quarterback is he? Who knows? We'll find out, right?
Yeah.
But, like, it's the bet they're going to make. It's so obvious, like, if they have the opportunity. Now, this is the thing with Kirk Cousins. He might not make it to the market.
Yes.
He might stay in Minnesota. And then if that happens, then the Falcons have to pivot. And that's really where Justin Fields becomes a conversation. That's really where Russell Wilson becomes a conversation. Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, Tyrod Taylor, whoever you want to name, right? Baker Mayfield, they're all possibilities at that point in time, because basically the two things that the Falcons want to do, which is either trade up and get one of the threes, one of the top three guys, or hook a fish like Kirk Cousins, who's a proven, competent, starting caliber quarterback that can win games in this type of offense with weapons. He maximizes weapons. You want to get more out of Kyle Pitts and Drake London? Get you a Kirk Cousins. No one's complaining about, hey, that Jordan Addison was an underachiever in Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, oh, he's a big-time bust, right? Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, that was one of the worst duos of wide receivers. Kirk will get the job done, right? It's not going to be pretty. You're not going to sit here and he's going to lead you to a Super Bowl, but he's going to allow you to play consistent, reliable football. Oh, that thing that the Falcons haven't been for 3 years. The last time they made the playoffs, they were a consistent team. So it's like, we can sit here and argue all day about what they should do and wait and punt and get you wait and draft a guy and get this guy that's going to be a superstar. But, like, they don't have the time to afford those options, guys. They have to win. And so, like, Kirk Cousins is the safest, the most proven path to winning. That's what it is. Is that basically what it is, Kevin?
Yeah, it basically, and it's like, Kirk Cousins has always been polarizing. His personality, you know, the way he started his career, like, all this stuff. Like, I understand why he's such a controversial figure. But, like, what's not controversial is that Kirk Cousins was playing his best football before he tore his Achilles. Like, he has been consistently getting better in the NFL as he gets older. The command of that offense was getting really good. Like, he was a legitimate candidate for you know, all pro quarterback potentially if he had stayed on the trajectory that he was on this last year in Minnesota. And it cracks me up. Somebody tweeted at me like, oh, the Falcons would have won 9 games with Kirk Cousins last year. I'm like, yeah, they would have. Like, if he had gotten hurt in the exact same way, they still would have won more games with Kirk Cousins playing half the season than they would have with Ritter starting the entire year. So, like, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He was definitely a top 10 quarterback last year. But we're not signing Kirk Cousins from last year. We're signing Kirk Cousins going into 2024. And that's where things get a little bit sketchier, because he is coming off a torn Achilles, and that's a major injury, and he's an older quarterback. He's going to be 36 in 2024. So with Kirk Cousins, obviously the injury is the big sort of specter over him, and also Cousins is notorious for demanding that basically he's going to get the most money, and he's not going to take anything less than a fully guaranteed deal, and that's always been his thing, and you know, that's the price you have to pay to get Cousins. The thing that's good about Cousins is that you already know he can do it at the NFL level. Like, you've seen him be a top 10-ish quarterback for several seasons in a row now. So you don't have the guesswork that's involved with, like, a rookie, where, like, guys, there's a 50% chance that these top three quarterbacks that everybody loves are just straight up busts. Like, straight up. Like, so I don't, people seem to pretend and convince themselves that these top three quarterbacks are all going to hit. Maybe two of the three will hit. So, like, there's always that. And, like, you're not getting the top one either. You're not getting Caleb Williams. Like, people tweeting at me, hey, we can trade up to number one and get Caleb Williams. No, you can't. There's no way you're trading up to number one, because the Bears aren't trading him. They're trading Justin Fields. It's obvious they're taking a quarterback at number one. You're not getting Caleb Williams, so you can forget that. The best you can do is maybe two if Washington is insane and is willing to trade that pick, or three is probably the most likely, but, like, even then you're getting the third of three, and maybe that's fine. You know, I like Jaden Daniels. I like Drake May. You know, if one of those guys is there, absolutely, I'd pull the trigger, but it's way more risky to go after one of those rookies than people think. And, like, the cost is going to be extravagant too. Like, it's not going to cost salary cap, but it's going to cost three first round picks to get up there. And, like, I know that's, like, a cost that you pay later. And I think people are sort of deferring that. It's like, oh, it's future first. Who cares? You know, whatever. Like, that's a huge cost. And I think in some ways people get way too hung up on how expensive the free agency dollars will be for Kirk Cousins, when in reality, it's much easier to move money around than it is to move draft picks. You can't get those first round picks back without significant cost. So, I mean, do you think this whole, he's going to cost too much? Like, let's discuss that first. Like, this belief that if the Falcons do sign Cousins, that it, like, destroys their offseason, they can't afford to do anything else. You know, what do you think about that argument that now Cousins, it will disable them from being able to make necessary moves elsewhere on the roster because of his prohibitive salary cap cost?
No, I talked about that on the Locked On Falcons that air tonight, be tomorrow on your favorite podcast platforms. I don't think it's going to be as big an obstacle as people make it out to be. The issue is going to not be this year. Like, you can, if the Falcons want to be aggressive and spend money this offseason, Kevin, I know you've been talking about their current cap situation. They can free up more if they cut guys, restructure guys. Like, so there's flexibility if they want to spend. If their goal is to, let's try to win games and let's assemble, you know, the Avengers or whatever, with whoever, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins at the head of it as Captain America, you know, they can do that. The issue is going to be on the back end, right? It's the same thing with the draft picks. Like, you know, there are consequences to whichever way you go. And I think you're doing a good job explaining to you, it's like, there is no safe bet for where the Falcons are, right? Everything they do is a gamble. It's just a question of which gamble do you prefer? Which gamble do you feel like, I feel better about losing draft picks than I feel better about losing cap space, right? I don't know. Your preferences may vary, but I just think with Kirk, the money thing, I don't think he's going to sign for as much as some people are projecting, because I think people are looking at it as a traditional free agent that Kirk is, right? That, oh, he's the number one guy in the market. There's going to be a bidding war for him. And so that's causing people to be like, oh, he could get 45 million or 50 million or something like that. I don't think he's going to go for that much. I think the issue that I've understood talking to people that cover the Vikings, and Kevin, I know you have friends that also cover the Vikings. I'm sure you've had conversations with those people about this. But like, it's not about how much money it is. It's about how many years it is. Kirk is looking for his final contract and looking for the place where he can finish his career at. And so it's not really about, I need to maximize how much money I make. It's about, will you fully guarantee me 2 years or 3 years so that I can potentially finish my career, right? And I don't think that's going to lead to this massive bidding war, because it's basically between Minnesota, staying in Minnesota, or probably coming to Atlanta, because I just don't think Kirk is going to want to move his family to Vegas. I don't think he wants to go to New England and be like, let me try to win a Super Bowl in Tom Brady's shadow without Bill Belichick. So I just think ultimately what the Vikings haven't wanted to do, and this has been well reported in Minnesota, which is they're not willing to commit guaranteed money beyond this upcoming season. They no longer want to ride the Kirk Cousins ride, right? They want to get off, right? And they want to have a path to get off after this year. The Falcons can offer, hey, Kirk, come to Atlanta. We want to stay on the ride for 3 years or something like that. And that's going to be enticing to Kirk Cousins. And all the other reasons that you heard, his wife's connections to the area, all that stuff. He wants to get into business, right? I talked to Corey Woodruff, our friend. He did an interview with Kirk earlier this year, and he was reading Bernie Marcus's like autobiography or memoir. And Bernie Marcus is the co-founder of Home Depot. You know who the other co-founder of Home Depot is? Arthur Blank. Kirk wants to get into business after he's retiring, and who's a perfect person to link up with, you know, the AMB group or whatever it's called, right? So it's like everything is pulling him to Atlanta if he wants to leave Minnesota. And so like, I think people are like, oh, he's going to cost $50 million. He's going to cost $45 million. He might cost 40. That's I think that's possible, but I don't think it's going to go much over that for those reasons. I think it's about years length, not height, if you follow what I'm saying in the contract. Yeah.
It's the guarantees, and the guarantees are always the real money in a contract. You can see all these exorbitant AAV values for these contracts, but what you really care about is the guaranteed money and how long that lasts, because a lot of these guys are never going to see that fourth, fifth year of these deals where they're getting this crazy money. So Kirk knows that. He's very savvy. He's known for that. He's going to want a 2 to 3 year fully guaranteed contract, and it just depends, like, is anyone willing to give him that? That's the question. Are the Falcons willing to do that? That's the other question. But the ultimate thing is, like you said, once free agency hits, he costs $28.5 million for the Vikings. So if they can't close the deal with him by the time free agency starts, he's not going to Minnesota. They can't give him the money he wants and the guarantees he wants and pay him $28.5 million. Like, they just can't do that. So they have like sort of an exploding clock-ish sort of thing on this deal. I still think they're going to try to get it done, because... Yeah. The alternative is that now they switch places with the Falcons, essentially, and they're like, oh crap, now we don't have a quarterback and we have to try to figure out what we can do in this draft. I know they're rumored to like JJ McCarthy a lot and all that, and that could be a direction they go, but with Kirk, there do seem to be a lot of signs pointing to Atlanta, and for all the things you mentioned, like, wife's got family here, he's interested in getting into business, Atlanta's a great place to do that. The Falcons, in a lot of ways, could fit what he wants. Like, this is an easier path. This is probably the easiest path of any division he could go to. The NFC South is the easiest one. Like, he steps in here, he gets commitments from the Falcons that they're going to build a team around him to try to compete right away, which is probably going to involve free agent wide receiver, probably a top receiver pick in the, you know, first two rounds as well. Maybe more resources given there. He's already got an established wide receiver one. He's got what could be, you know, the best running back duo in the NFL or close to it. He's got Kyle Pitts, who could really flourish with an actual quarterback under center. You know, the setup makes sense. And the offensive line, I mean, the Falcons haven't had the best pass protecting offensive line, but it's been a lot better than some of the lines he's been behind. That's for sure, especially on the interior, which has been the biggest issue with Minnesota. And part of the reason he's been hit so much the last couple of years, mm-hmm. Has been the interior pressure, and the Falcons do have what looks like two pieces of a good interior. And I like Matthew Bergeron, so I'll give him the nod that he's going to, you know, take steps to be maybe an above average guard this year, but everything's sort of aligning for that to work. But the big specter, the people that think Kirk Cousins isn't a good quarterback, there's nothing that you or I could say that would change their mind. They're like, yeah, well, look at his career record, and he's not won in the playoffs. Matt Ryan didn't win the playoffs until he did. Matt Stafford was 0-3 until he won a Super Bowl and went 4-0. Like, it only takes one run to win a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter what happened before. It honestly doesn't, because and you know, QB wins are stupid. We all know this, but like, it, you know, that seems to be the biggest knock on Cousins, is that, oh, well, he hasn't, you know, put together a run before, so why should he do it now? And, you know, I would encourage people to look at the player and what he does, and he plays well. He's definitely the best quarterback you could probably hope to get for 2024. That includes Caleb Williams and all the rookies. It's unlikely that any of those rookies are going to outplay Kirk Cousins in 2024. Now, the long-term trajectory of those guys is better, obviously. That's why they're going to be top picks in the draft. But there's a lot of hoping you're doing if you're like CJ Stroud comes around once every like two or three draft classes. Think about the last couple of rookie quarterback classes. How many of those guys were having that type of run immediately? So the injury is the other thing that we should probably mention. And, you know, people see that Achilles, it's very scary, but again, like, and you pointed it out too. Like it seems like people have like attached this injury prone label to him. And like, he's not at all injury prone. In fact, this was like the first major injury he's had in his career. So I don't really know where that started. I don't know if it's just wish casting, like, oh, well, I don't want him, so therefore he's injury prone. Like,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, it's very clear, you know, not to sound too condescending. I'm just going to be a little condescending, but it's very clear how many people really pay attention to stuff. Cause it's like, that's not a legit criticism of Kirk Cousins. He got hurt one time, which is like a freak injury. Like, that's what an Achilles, like, you can tear your Achilles walking off the curb. Now, you know, I'm sure you got some other issues going on if that happens, but like, you know, I just think that's weird, because like, if the one thing that you're most concerned about with Justin Fields, other than is he good or not, is how often he gets hurt. Like, he's injury prone. Right. And like, that's, you know, not to turn this into a Justin Fields versus Kirk Cousins debate, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, people are just like using the word, the buzzword, and it's like, you're attaching it to the wrong guy. That's all I'm saying. But yeah. I don't think the injury is too worrisome moving forward. It obviously probably means we're not going to see the best version of Kirk Cousins in 2024, which is what would facilitate the Falcons to guarantee at least 2 years, so that you can be like, okay, let's see where you are in 2025. And hopefully the pieces that we've now added, and Kyle Pitts is good, and Drake London's looking great, and Bijan's made whatever jump that he's made, and whatever weapons that you add, now you've integrated them all into the offense. You've had another offseason to add pieces to your defense. So like, in theory, if you're the Falcons, you're selling Arthur Blank on a 2-year window where it's just like, we're going to try to make the playoffs this year. We're going to do our best, and hopefully it'll work, right? Kirk is good enough, and we build the infrastructure, and the team is good enough, and we win a weak division. We got a shot, right? Everybody's sitting here going like, they got a shot if they get a quarterback. And then next year, we'll put it all together, and that's when we'll really make our big push. And if you're Arthur Blank, you're like, yeah, do that. Do that. I like that plan. And so, like, that's why I sit here, and I think we, as fans, always like to put ourselves into it and what we would want the team to do. But ultimately, the people that actually make the decisions also have motivations and pressures and all these various things that push them in certain directions. And while I may not agree with that direction or be like, this is a great, you know, thumbs up, two thumbs up, this is definitely going to work plan, it's like, it is what it is, you know? So it's just like, that's the world we live in. And so I don't know. I think some of this stuff is just, you just got to come to accept that, you know, they're going to make a push, and, you know, we'll see if Kirk Cousins is available. If he's not, that's going to, again, that pivot is going to be interesting, and that's going to be even more debate and discussion, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, based on conversations that people have had with Fontenot and Morris, that they seem to have a clear idea of what they want to do. We don't know what that is. And to their credit, they've done a great job of like obfuscating it, because first it was like, oh, there's an imminent deal for Justin Fields. Okay, that didn't happen. Now it's like, oh, there's an imminent deal for Kirk Cousins. Before that, it was, oh, they love the top three quarterbacks. They're going to do whatever they need to get up. So they've now successfully told three different stories. The only consistent thing is that we know getting the quarterback is the most important thing on their mind, but you need to figure out something, and that's the first domino that's going to fall. They're either going to get Cousins or not, and then I imagine if they don't get Cousins, they're going to pivot to Fields as quickly as they can and hope that he's still out there. But, you know, if they miss on both of those options, then it's, you know, I guess you're going to have to take JJ McCarthy or something. I don't know. Doesn't fill me with hope, but, you know, whatever. But you're going to have to take on some risk. Like, there's no slam dunk. Like, I mean, if Cousins comes in and he's healthy and is playing like last year, then I think you could maybe qualify that as a slam dunk. Like, if he plays like that and this team comes together, maybe it could be a slam dunk, but he could also take a while to recover and they could be mediocre this year, you know, and maybe he gets hurt again and then he doesn't play much next year either. And then you're really doubly screwed, but they have to do something. They have to take some level of risk. And the other side of the coin is, you know, what do you do behind him? Because then with Cousins coming off an injury, quarterback two is really important. And, you know, what do you think about that? Do you think that they do consider still taking a quarterback in this class? Probably not trading up into the top three, obviously, still, but maybe they do take someone at eight or on day two, or do they sign somebody? Or is it, you know, let's see if we can develop Ridder some more. I mean, like, everyone seems to think that Ridder is just a quarterback that can never do anything and he's a trash player, and some people are convinced he's going to be cut for his travesty of a season. And the honest truth is that, like, Ridder is a young quarterback who didn't play very well, but, like, how many of those guys are still on rosters? A lot of them. And there's still a runway for Ridder to become a backup quarterback. Like, so, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's necessary for them to add more? I mean, obviously, let's assume they get Cousins or Fields or whatever. Do you think Ridder and a veteran is enough, or do they need to keep adding in the draft at the position?
I think they need to keep swinging. They need to keep trying to swing on a quarterback, whether it's Cousins, whether it's Fields. Like, they can't just make one bet, right? That they've made that mistake. That's what the mistake they just made with Desmond Ridder, right? It's like, this bet is going to pay off. And it's just like, you can't make that bet again, right? So whether you sign Cousins might be your biggest bet. Fields might be your biggest bet. The trade up might be your biggest bet, whatever. But you have to take a quarterback, right? And that's going to be the interesting thing. How does the board stack, right? If quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, does that push JJ McCarthy up the board? And the Giants are like, well, we want to get off the Daniel Jones ride. Let's get our quarterback now. Does Minnesota move up to get him? You know, does Atlanta try to go up to it? Or does he fall like Will Levis, who was also rumored to be, what, the second pick, the number one pick going into the draft, right? You know, and so, like, who knows? And then who knows what happens with the second group of, like, the draft is great. And it's like, you got to keep swinging. But, like, that's the problem with the draft. It's so unpredictable because you're one of 32 teams picking that can sort of manipulate things and how things go. So I think they have to swing at it and just keep hitting and hope that they hit on one of these things. And again, the odds are never going to be in their favor, whether it's the number one pick or a fourth round pick. It's just, you know, you just got to keep swinging and eventually you'll make contact. I think with Ridder, here's going to be the issue. Depending on how the draft goes, all that to say is they might not be able to get a quarterback that's, you know, they might, instead of getting another Desmond Ridder and instead of getting the next Jalen Hurts, instead of getting, you know, whoever, they wind up getting a Davis Webb, a Matt Corral, who's like, oh, that guy can't play. Right. And so all of a sudden it's like, what happens if Kirk Cousins gets re-injured? What happens if he's slow to come back? Well, that's where Desmond Ridder is needed because he's actually played. Now, if you draft a guy, if you draft a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix or whoever, JJ McCarthy, and you feel like, hey, this guy can get the job done if he's forced to play as a rookie, then, you know, that's when Desmond Ridder becomes expendable. But especially during, like, you know, I'm not expecting Kirk Cousins to be 100% healthy in April and May and June when OTAs kick off. Like, he's probably going to wait till training camp. That's not great, but you need somebody like Desmond Ridder to sort of get them through practice, right? For 3 months. That's valuable. Get them through practice in training camp. That's at least worth keeping through training camp. It's basically what I'm saying. And then you figure it out. And then there's a competition for number two. If Desmond Ridder outperforms the rookie, he keeps the number two job, and we have three quarterbacks on the roster, just like we did last year. with Logan Woodside. Everybody loves Logan Woodside, right? So he got on the field. It was terrible.
Toledo legend. Okay, put some respect on my man.
Man, I was wishing so bad for Logan Woodside to do something good.
The truth. Like, yeah.
For the half, man, he played or whatever it was, the quarter he played against the Saints. But so they carry three quarterbacks, right? Basically, and if the rookie beats out Desmond Ridder, then you shop Desmond Ridder at the end of training camp. Maybe you get a seventh round pick for him for somebody whose backup got hurt or something like that, or whoever, and you figure it out later. But yeah, so I think there's room for three quarterbacks at least for the next few months on this team, and that allows us to debate and intrigue and argue about who should be, how we should stack the depth chart, all that stuff that everybody loves to do, is find some argument about the quarterback each and every day.
Yes, we'll find, you know, we'll find new battles to fight, I'm sure, at quarterback, even if they sign Kirk Cousins or trade for Justin Fields or whoever. But I mean, with either of those guys, getting a backup that can come in and not sink the ship is a big deal. And, you know, the ultimate question is, like, can you trust Ridder not to sink the ship? And that probably depends a lot on your opinion of Ridder. You know, how much do you blame him versus the coaching staff previously, all that stuff. But they're definitely not going into next year with just Desmond Ridder. I can guarantee you that. Like, he's not going to be the nominal starter, but will he be on the roster? I mean, probably. Like, I mean, I think Ridder being the third quarterback at worst is probably a guarantee. I mean, they did invest a third round pick in him, and I think he didn't play well. We know that, but teams also don't like to give up on their day two picks either. And I, as ungood as he was on the whole, I mean, I think we would be lying if we didn't say there were some games in there that were intriguing. I mean, there was brief shining moments where it was like, oh, maybe this guy does have something. He's got the fourth quarter moxie, you know, we've got the comeback, and like, it didn't translate into consistency or a good season, but I don't know that he was so bad that you just kick him off the roster as like a punishment for his crimes. Like, I mean, it didn't go as expected, but I think just throwing him off the roster without a competition, like some people think is going to happen. Like, I know, you know, shout out to some folks on Twitter who think that he's going to be cut before OTAs. You know, it seems a little aggressive to me, but I guess it is a new coaching staff. It's not a new, I mean, it's not entirely new. And the guy who drafted him is still here, and Terry Fontenot. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens there with Desmond Ridder, but it's the most interesting conversation on the roster, and we're going to talk it to death, I'm sure, until hopefully, I mean, it would be nice if this was resolved by like next week. I mean, I'm not convinced that it will ever be resolved, but you know, at least if we have some kind of option, we can build our offseason coverage around some assumption, because right now we can't make any assumption. But you know, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields each have intense risks associated. And for some reason, I feel like the Justin Fields believers and the Kirk Cousins believers both think that like one is right and the other one is like very wrong. And it's more like they're both very risky. Like, it's like we're rolling like a 50 percentile dice every, like, for each one. The reasons why it might not work for each one are different, but the risks are pretty similar. I mean, Justin Fields, we don't know if he can do it. Like, we don't know if he's really good enough to be an NFL starter outside of his flashes. And with Kirk Cousins, like, well, is he going to stay healthy? Are we going to blow all this money, you know, on a quarterback that might only have a couple of years left and it doesn't work out? I mean, it's risky either way, but you know, I think people should recognize that both are legitimate options to competing potentially if things go correct. Like, if things go right, like the way you hope, both options could be legitimate, viable pathways to competing for the NFC South title and beyond this year. Like, I know people are like, oh, Kirk can't win the big game. Well, guess what? You can't get to the big game if you don't make the playoffs in 6 years, okay? So let's make the damn playoffs to start, okay? Can we start just winning some damn football games? Like, I don't want to sit here pretending, and like, I've had enough of my internet GM hat, Aaron, okay? I want to just win some damn football games and stop being so depressed on Sunday. Can we? You gotta walk before you can run, guys. Let's not just be like, hey, well, does Kirk Cousins make a Super Bowl contender? Probably not. Does anybody make us a Super Bowl contender? Can we just win some damn games? Like, anything would be nice. I'll take crumbs at this point. And maybe that makes me a bad talent evaluator. I don't know. But anything would be welcome that's not 7-10 for three straight seasons.
Kevin, I'm right there with you, man. I'm just like, you got to walk before you can run. And like, you know, not again, I know I come off as an anti-Justin Fields guy. I just think I was a big fan of Justin Fields. I thought going into that 2020 draft that the Falcons made a mistake by passing on him. And then we got to that 2022 game against the Bears, and watching the film leading up to that game and watching the film of that game, I was like, he is not as far along as he needs to be. He has made improvements since then, but he's played 40 games. And we're like, is he good? And we had the same conversation for Desmond Ridder after he played 4 games, right? And we found out after a year, he's not good, right? For most good quarterbacks, for legit guys, we kind of know a year, maybe a year and a half, if you want to say, okay, Trevor Lawrence, right, had a disastrous rookie year under Urban Meyer. But we kind of figured out about halfway through his second season, he's pretty good, right? How good he is, who knows? But everybody who's listening to us, watching us, knows that if the Jaguars put him on the market, you'd be sprinting to pick up and call that phone. That's how good he is, right? But like 3 years, we don't know if he's good. You know what types of quarterbacks that turns out to be? That's Daniel Jones. It's Baker Mayfield, right? Jared Goff, maybe, right? You know, Sean McVay got his hands on him in that second year after that disastrous rookie year, and they were good. But we were still like, I don't think Jared Goff is good. I think it's all Sean McVay. So we're betting on Zach Robinson basically being Sean McVay and getting his hands on Justin Fields. And then there was a ceiling there, right, for Jared Goff. And they were like, we need to get off this ride. We need to get on the Matt Stafford ride because he raises the ceiling because he can actually, you know, he can sling it, right? You know, if you like Caleb Williams, you've seen Matt Stafford. They throw it the same way, right? But like, that's your best case scenario for Justin Fields? Like, don't pay Kirk Cousins, but a year from now when we have to pay Justin Fields, or 2 years from now, whenever you guys think the timeline is for when he gets that $50 million contract, I think it's going to happen next year. Because if he's good, you know, that's a separate conversation. But like, that's what happened with the Rams. They pay Jared Goff and they're like, yeah, this is not worth the money. Let's do better. Like, that to me is your best case scenario. Otherwise, it's Daniel Jones, and where are the Giants at? They're like, we want to get off this ride. So when people sit here and act like these two things, you know, one of these has like a high ceiling and this other one has, you know, it's just like, they're both like bets that aren't going to make you a Super Bowl team. So it's just like, make the bet that gets you to the playoffs, and then we'll figure out the Super Bowl stuff later when we can consistently and reliably get to the playoffs. You know, like, can we get to the first floor of the building into the lobby before we start talking about let's climb up on the roof? I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, let's get hired at the company before we start pretending we're the CEO. Like can we even get in the door to the party? Like, we're just like outside in the line with the other, like, you know, 16 NFL teams that didn't make the playoffs, you know, 18 teams. We're like waiting to get into the playoff club, talking about how, oh, well, this is what I'm going to do to be up in the VIP chair, winning that Super Bowl without Lombardi. And like, you can't even get into the club. Like, we haven't been in the club in 6 years. We don't even know what it looks like anymore. I don't even know if the club's still there. We might open the door and everyone's gone. I mean, you got to start building a winning culture. You got to start winning games, because let's be honest, like, fans are getting apathetic. Like, when people are like, oh, actually, I would rather not go for a quarterback. I would rather just, you know, punt and see where we are next year. It's like, that's apathy. That is like, I don't even, like, I've been hurt so many times. I don't even want to take a swing anymore. I just want to, like, go quietly into the night and ignore this team. Arthur Blake knows this. The team knows that fans are fed up and apathetic. You've seen Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a lot of game days. That stadium is empty. It's embarrassing. Like, you gotta, like, bring people in. And nothing brings people in like winning damn football games. You can get the nicest looking stadium in the NFL, and I think Mercedes-Benz is up there. You can get your cheap hot dogs and, you know, semi-reasonable beer or whatever it is that they have going in there. That's not going to bring in the fans. The only thing that brings fans in and gets the city excited is winning games. Like, and that's the goal. They're going to win games. After you start winning games, then you can talk about, okay, how do we take the next step to winning playoff games? Okay, how do we start taking the next step to contending for the Super Bowl? But, like, you're not even winning enough games to start the playoff conversation. It's not like, well, we can't get past the wild card round. It's like, no, we can't get past the worst division in football. So, like, something's got to change.
Get past the Panthers, right?
Yeah, we can't sweep the Carolina Panthers, Aaron. So...
I mean, but hey, man, well, let's start it with a super, you know, yeah. So it's one of those things, right? And that's why I talk about, you got to keep swinging, right? So like, yeah, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Desmond Ridder, like none of these dudes are winning you Super Bowls in all likelihood. Again, we all hope, you know, get in the dance and we'll see what happens. But like people acting like there's this like foolproof, can't miss, hey, this is going to definitely work out. But I think you nailed it, Kevin. It's apathy. It's just like, all right, just lay down and hopefully we'll suck enough long enough and we'll get lucky and we'll draft. But like Raheem Morris ain't about that life, because guess what? If they suck, he's not going to be here to reap the benefits of that quarterback. Ask Anthony Lynn, right?
Yeah.
Ask Urban Meyer or Doug Marrone, who got fired, I guess, in Jacksonville, that led to them getting Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, right? It's like they're going to try to win. And so it's like, we'll see what they wind up doing. But I just think once you acknowledge that, then it's just like, okay, I get it. Like, we'll see if it works, but like, I get it. Like, I'm not mad at what they're trying to do in order to try to win games.
Yeah. And that's what you have to understand, is it's all in service of getting this team to the playoffs as soon as possible, because we don't have time to sit here and twiddle our thumbs and think about team building for 3 more years. Like, the time for that is gone. Like, they did that. They got some decent players over the past 3 years. They cleaned with the books, and now it's time to win games. And like, Arthur Smith thought he had time to wait on quarterback, and we saw how that went for him. And he's partially to blame for that, because he didn't exactly set up what he did have to work either. But like, no one's waiting around anymore. There's no perfect thing you can do that doesn't have risk. So you're going to have to swing. I just hope whatever swing they make is the one they want to make. Like, if they think Kirk Cousins is the best option, because we've talked about it, right? Like, Kirk Cousins fits this scheme like a glove. He's super familiar with it. Assuming Zach Robinson's going to call a Sean McVay offense, which I think is a safe assumption, that's exactly what he's running in Minnesota. So he should be able to come in and get it down quick, and you shouldn't have to have too much, you know, ramp-up time with that aspect of it. He's got a stable of weapons around him that should at least give this offense a floor. They've got a lot of work to do at receiver, but the run game should be able to support Cousins if he needs time to get healthy. In theory, they should be a perfect setup for someone like Cousins to come into at this point in his career. They got to hit the wide receiver pick that they make, and they need to get a free agent in here. I don't think they're going to go crazy, but like, they need a slot receiver. Maybe they get a Tyler Boyd or whoever. Maybe they go out and draft, you know, Xavier Worthy to be the flanker, that 4-2-1. We're going to talk about that tonight. I guarantee that. That was mighty impressive. But he's also 165 pounds. We'll talk about that too. But, you know, again, risks, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, Cousins make a lot of sense for Atlanta, and so does Justin Fields. You know, obviously a hometown guy. He's got the rushing ability that gives him a good floor.
Yes.
He needs to be able to improve the passing. You know, maybe you think the Bears were to blame with a lot of his issues, and I think at least one of those Bears staffs definitely did him no favors. But, you know, the newer staffs that were brought in, maybe a little bit better. Maybe it's definitely not all the coaching staff's fault with Justin Fields. Like, he needs to take steps as a passer, full stop. But the thing with Fields is, like, he's not as far along now, but he does have the long runway that maybe you could find a franchise quarterback. But, like, the fact that he does have that runway doesn't mean that you ignore that Kirk Cousins is a franchise quarterback right now. Now, he's probably only a franchise quarterback for, like, 2 more years, but, like, he's the franchise quarterback right now. So it's not as cut and dry as people like to think it is, but whoever they get, they just need to have conviction. They need to get the guy you want. If it's Fields, then go make the trade as soon as possible and get him in here and get things rolling. If it's Cousins, give him the deal, get him in the door, and let's start attacking the offseason, because they can't afford to wait. Like, if one of those guys is who they want, they can't just hold their money in reserve for this Kirk Cousins deal and wait for all the free agents to go. And I don't think they'll do that. Like, if they're negotiating with Cousins, they're still going to go out and make moves. I mean, one way or another, they still need a wide receiver. They still need edge rush help. I mean, all this stuff. But just go make a stand. Like, take a stand, pick somebody that you like, and let's get rolling. And I hope to God you're right, but, like, at least have a plan at quarterback, unlike the last coach. Like, it didn't seem like there was much of a plan at all. So at least there would be something, you know.
I think you nailed it, Kevin. Like, that's part of it, where it's like, I'm less interested in who the quarterback is. I'm more interested in what they build around it. Like if you're Justin Fields, right, you're betting on the run game, but it's like you got to get, you know, receivers in here. Like the receivers that you look for with Justin Fields, are they the same receivers that you look for with Kirk Cousins? Like Kirk Cousins doesn't throw the ball down the field, guys, right? He's a dink and dunk, so you need guys that can separate, win after the catch. Justin Fields, he'll throw the ball down the field, so get some outside speed, and his issue is throwing over the middle of the field, and so you wonder, is he going to maximize Drake London and Kyle Pitts? You know, those guys that kind of win in the middle, that's not been a major issue with Kirk Cousins, but, you know, so these are all things that the Falcons have to figure out, but it all depends on the quarterback, and so for me, like, I'm optimistic that it's all going to work out, but I have to obviously see what the big piece is at the quarterback is, and then how do you build it around it? Because it's like, you feel a lot better, right? Like our wide receiver core last year with Mac Hollins and Scotty Miller and Kadero Hodge, and then eventually Van Jefferson, is a perfectly fine wide receiver core if the foundation of your offense is running the football. But if you need those guys to be playmakers in the passing game, which the Falcons needed last year because their running game did not serve as that sort of stable, reliable foundation like it had been the previous year, like we all thought it would be in 2023, all of a sudden you need those guys to be better. And it's just like, they are not good enough to carry a passing game, right? Now, maybe if you had Matt Ryan, maybe if you had Matt Stafford or CJ Stroud at quarterback, it would have been a different story, but you didn't have those things. So it's like, now you got to change that, especially if you have Kirk Cousins. Like, you're going to need to sling it all around. You need to get weapons for Kirk Cousins. You need to get weapons for Justin Fields. You need to get weapons for any of these people. And so, like, part of my reluctance to sort of say, hey, it's all going to work out, I kind of need to see how you build it around the guys first, because, like, that's a big part of it. The quarterback's the biggest piece of the puzzle, but there's all these other pieces that are missing as well. And this is like, you know, that's to me the more interesting thing, but, you know, people like to argue about quarterbacks instead. So, like, you know, I wish we could have more conversations about how, you know, how we build this wide receiver core and whatnot, but, you know, let's just argue about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, you can't see what, it's like the puzzle, you're right. It's like, there's this puzzle, but, like, there's a giant piece missing right in the middle. And it's like, I don't know what this picture is until we get this piece. Like, I can't figure out what these other pieces are until we see what this one piece is. Like, I can make some guesses about what they could be, but once that quarterback piece gets in there, it's like, oh, okay, now this is, you know, this offense. Okay, now I know exactly what pieces we need. So, you know, I think why people get caught up on the quarterback. It's because it's like, well, it's hard to say. If it's Justin Fields, you probably want this. If it's Kirk Cousins, you probably want that. If it's a rookie, maybe you want something else. So, you know, the one thing that's definitely something to consider. We got Corey with the $2. Sorry, Corey, I missed your question a couple minutes ago. He said, so I wonder, Matt Ryan at 36 was looked at as old and too expensive. Now we want Cousins, who is 36, coming off a major injury, to fix the hole in the ship that was caused by launching Matt Ryan off of it. And Cousins will cost even more, adjusting for inflation. So I do want to correct you a little bit there, Court. We didn't trade Matt Ryan because he was too old and expensive. We traded Matt Ryan because we insulted his honor by trying to trade for a predator while he was here. And, you know, he didn't enjoy that. You know, he did not like that and wanted to go somewhere else where he actually was wanted. The Falcons, I believe, were not planning to get rid of Matt Ryan that year because he was too old or too expensive. In fact, he'd had a pretty solid season the year before. I mean, Kyle Pitts had 1,000 yards with him. He wasn't prime Matt Ryan anymore, but, like, he was still a very capable quarterback. But, like, it's different than Cousins because he was under contract, so somebody had to trade for him, you know, and all this stuff. And, like, the Colts were very excited to acquire Matt Ryan, and they thought he was going to help them compete. Now, that team completely fell apart as soon as Ryan got there. I don't think it had much to do with Ryan. I mean, he's not really a scrambler, and that offensive line had the worst collective season that they've ever had. And right after Frank, you know, that staff got fired, the offensive line went back to being good again. It was a very bizarre situation that happened in Indianapolis that year, but I don't really think it's the same. Now, Cousins is coming off that injury, but, like, neither of these guys are too old. Now, maybe they're too expensive. That depends on your take, obviously, on that. But I don't really think that either one was like, oh, yeah, they're over the hill, and they're not going to be able to lead us anywhere. Because the Colts certainly thought he was going to lead them to the playoffs. So, you know, that's sort of my take.
I think it goes back to what you were talking to earlier about the infrastructure, right? The run game, right? We didn't, like, you think about what we had with Matt Ryan at the end. We didn't have a run game. We had a terrible offensive line. Our weapons were a rookie Kyle Pitts and Russell Gage. you know, unfortunately, Calvin Ridley wasn't there. Julio was gone, right? So we didn't have a defense in 2021. That defense was terrible, right? And so, like, you're right. The Falcons are it's, they've gone full circle, right? If Justin Fields is basically betting on Desmond Ridder all over again, if Russell Wilson is Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins is Matt Ryan. But guess what?
You got to pick one.
I'm going to go with the one that was actually good at some point. It kind of worked. I don't know. Call me crazy. So I just think, like, when you put it that way, like, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But, like, Matt, I think with you're better set up to navigate a washed quarterback now. If, like, if you make the bet on Kirk Cousins, yeah, man, that sucks, right? Like, it's going to kick your butt, right? We've seen that happen with so many teams. You know, I don't think it's going to be to the degree that it was with Denver and Russell Wilson, right? But, like, we've seen that happen a bunch. Buyer's remorse. That's a legit risk. That in a year or two, we're like, yeah, that did not work out. So that's why we got to continue taking shots and hope that this coaching staff can teach and develop, and so that we can get off this train if it derails. So it's going to be a process that this Falcons are going to go through. There's no clear-cut answers, but I think there is a path forward, and I think Matt Ryan shouldn't be used as, like, a bad thing. Like, you know, going back to Matt Ryan, we can do a lot worse than quote-unquote washed Matt Ryan at the quarterback position, as we have seen the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think if they hadn't had the dalliance with Watson and Ryan was not traded, I think Arthur Smith would probably still be the coach, because they would have had Matt Ryan for another year and probably would have made the playoffs in 2022. So, you know, do with that whatever you like. But and maybe it's better this way on the whole. I don't know. We're going to see. You know, I like Raheem. But the whole thing was a disaster. They bet wrong, obviously, on that one. But and Brandon with the $2 asks, thoughts on us getting Cousins and then drafting Michael Penix behind him in round two? Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very popular idea, to draft like Knicks or Penix if they're there in round two. But, like, there's so many people that are talking about, oh, well, we could just draft these guys in round two. Like, they're probably going to go late round one. Like, that's how this goes. Like, if you're seeing this guy always getting taken at the top of the second round, he's probably going in late first. Like, if teams do view these guys as, like, oh, they're potential starters, a lot of teams will trade up and get the fifth year option, or they'll get antsy that somebody's going to take them. And, I don't know that you'll be able to get Penix at the Falcons pick in round two. So they may have to trade up. But, like, again, I like Penix, but, like, Penix has also got his fair share of questions. I mean, medical, doesn't handle pressure well. Like, you know, it's a crapshoot all the way around. But, yeah, I mean, it would make sense to, like, roll the dice on Cousins staying healthy and getting you a couple good years, and then also, you know, get someone like a Penix who's like, wow, he throws the ball really well, but he's also got his own questions and you know, might need some development time, that sort of thing. So that could be a good bet to make. You know, take two shots instead of one, and I wouldn't be shocked if they go that route. But, you know, I don't know that they're going to be able to sit at their second-round pick and get one of those quarterbacks. I think a lot of teams are going to be eyeing those guys towards the end of the first round.
Yeah, that's the unpredictability of the draft, right? You just don't know, right? Maybe Penix is there. Maybe Penix falls. The teams don't like the medicals, and he falls around three. You know, anything could happen. So it's just that's why you can't bet on the draft as, like, this is going to save us. You know, it's just like you can get screwed out. And, you know, and again, that's the whole thing where it's just like, hey, if you don't go out there and get a veteran in free agency and you just wait on the draft and we'll figure it out later. You know, that's the path to Desmond Ridder starting again. Now, I know there is a vocal contingent of the fan base that would love to see that, but, like, I don't think I don't think you're going to be able to sell Arthur Blake on that one, guys. So, you know, I just think, yeah, I just think double dipping makes a ton of sense. We'll see what the Falcons do, but, like, you know, we can sit here and say, I want that guy. I think Penix is probably the best bet you can make after, you know, the top three and JJ McCarthy is probably going to go in the first round early, whatever. So I would be willing to bet on Penix, but, like, you know, we don't really control that. And so we'll just have to see how that turns out in 7 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I think Penix has the best path to being a potential starter. I do think Bo Nix is like a nice sort of high-end backup, like spot starter type. Like if you were drafting him to be your long-term backup, I think you'd be pretty happy with Bo Nix. I think he could fit this scheme pretty well, but it's like the upside with Nix, I don't know that it's really there. He's an older rookie, doesn't have a great arm. And like, you know, he's got some mobility, but it's like he checks a lot of boxes, but doesn't like double check anything. Yeah. It's like, he's like, he checks all the boxes of like a quarterback, but like, that's it. It's like 50th percentile all the way around. It's like a circle on the spider graph, you know. It's that's not bad, but it's not really doing much for us anywhere, you know. And that's a path to a long NFL career. I just don't know that anyone's going to be jumping up and down to have him as their starter. But like, if he has to come in and play four games for you, he's probably going to do a good job. But is he going to win playoff games? Probably not. Brock Purdy's winning playoff games, so if you have Kyle Shanahan, anything is possible. So. We don't have Kyle Shanahan, unfortunately, so we're going to have to, you know, not.
Well, maybe we'll be saying, hey, we have Zach Robinson in a year or two, and we'll be like, it's great. So that's really what that drafting some of these. I mean, really, a lot of this is you're betting on Zach Robinson. You're betting on Raheem Morris that they're going to get it right, and they're going to put whoever it is, rookie, veteran, whatever, in the positions to succeed. And that's really the bet that we're hoping for making. That's where Arthur Smith ultimately came up short. Whatever the decisions he made, they just couldn't win enough football games in order to get over that finish line.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up with some combine talk. There were a lot of impressive guys. I want to start with the edge rushers just because like the top three guys, I think, are all very much in play for the Falcons at 8, assuming they have that pick. And like I've been team Jared Verse since last year. I just really like Jared Verse. Now the fact that they're transitioning to this 3-4 and maybe going to play more stand up guys, you know, maybe that's not as great a fit for Jared Verse. I mean, I think he's good enough to play in whatever scheme, but you know, Dallas Turner's workout obviously was, I knew he was an absurd athlete, but like, I didn't realize he had such good length also, like over 34 inch arms. That's pretty nuts when you're under 6'4". And then, you know, 4.46. I mean, people thought Vic Beasley was fast, but you know, I mean, it's funny that, you know, Dallas Turner's faster than Drake London reportedly. maybe we should make Dallas Turner our wide receiver, but
yeah, Drake London's catching strays.
No, I love Drake London.
I know.
4.5 is plenty fast. Okay. Like it's just, you know, that's more of a plus for Dallas Turner than a knock on Drake London.
Dallas Turner, super red zone threat, right?
Yeah, you know, exactly. I mean, who says no? Yeah, but you know, but Laiatu Latu, the other guy, he also was rumored to be like a mediocre tester and tested very well. You know, his explosives were just like above average, but his 40 and 10 yard split, very good. You know, obviously he has the slight length concerns. I think he's got like 32 5/8 inch arms or something like that. So a little bit less than ideal length. But it seems like all those guys helped themselves. So I'm curious what you think about that trio. And do you have a favorite right now?
Yeah, I think all three of those guys, they tested, you know, they impressed in certain metrics of the testing. But they tested exactly, at least for me, how I thought they would test. It's just what number was it going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like Dallas Turner. I knew he was long. I didn't know he was that long. Yeah. But it was just like he's a freakish athlete. He kind of wins with athleticism and length and all. He doesn't have a well-developed pass rush plan, but if you can sort of develop that and hone that, like he's going to be a problem in the NFL. And that athleticism really correlates. Like I thought, I'm not saying he's this player, but athletically he's a Von Miller. He's a Brian Burns type of athlete. Yeah. Those guys came into the league much more polished than Dallas Turner, but in terms of the upside that if you can get that development out of Dallas Turner, that's the type of impact player somewhere in that range, right? Von Miller is probably a Hall of Famer, right? But I'm not saying that Dallas Turner is a slam dunk, but he has, you know, freakish ability in that regard. Jared Verse, all power, right? Just he's just going to jack you up. He gave Matthew Bergeron problems last year when he was at Syracuse and Jared Verse was at Florida State. He's just jacking dudes up with his power. You saw that with the bench press. You saw that with the explosives, right? The question with Jared Verse is really the bend, right?
Yeah.
He's going to win a lot with power, but his agilities were not great there. And so that's a little bit of a question mark. But he's just going to be a guy that's just going to be super physical. And like you love that about Jared Verse because he just consistently wins and he's going to be relentless as a pass rusher. Like you are going to really need a long soak after you block Jared Verse for a game, yeah. Right? And so he's easy to love, even if you're not necessarily convinced he has all the tools that's going to make him into a superstar sack artist, but he's going to be a guy that gets super reliable pressure on the quarterback, collapsing the pocket, you know, putting guys on roller skates and whatnot. And then Laiatu Latu, right? As you said, not a great tester in terms of like the explosives, but he doesn't win with first step quickness. He wins with technique and swipes and arms and swims and all that sort of stuff. So you want to kind of get him in a situation where you can put him against a slow footed guard or a slow footed tackle or a short armed guy where he can use his sort of technical skills to win that way. So he didn't need to test well. He just needed to test, like, don't be terrible athlete, right? Like, don't be a 10th percentile athlete. If you're a 40th percentile athlete or whatever it winds up, what is Rasko? It was like 6 or 7 or something like that. You know, that's good. That's more than good enough for the type of rusher that you are. So I think with all three of those guys, it's like if you thought one was one going in, like the testing did not change your opinion. It only confirmed why you like that prospect. And so I think for all three, like there are ways that they all win. I would love any of those three in Atlanta. But if I was just to bet, I'm going to bet on Dallas Turner just because I think the upside is there. But I know, like, we might be sitting here 3 years in and Jared Verse has gotten, you know, 8 sacks a season or whatever. And Dallas Turner's still hovering at like 5 sacks or something like that. And we're like, How do we pass on Jared Verse or something like that? So, like, to me, I'm not complaining about any of those guys if the Falcons wind up with them.
No, it's funny because it's like they are like back to back in RAS too. It's like Jared Verse actually ended up with the highest RAS. I think a lot of that's because of his size. He's a 9.52. Dallas Turner's 9.48, and then Laiatu Latu's 9.16, and they're all right in a row. And Latu was I thought Latu would come in like the sevens, which is totally fine. But yeah, I mean, him being in the nines is really good for him. So it's like,
I didn't realize it was that good.
Yeah, me neither. I was really impressed by that. So it's, you know, given the rumored switch to the 3-4, well, not rumored. I mean, he said they're playing 3-4 base. So I think it's more likely to be Turner or Latu than Verse, simply because I think that Turner and Latu are just more prototypical stand-up guys and have done that more. Verse is capable of it, but I think he's definitely a guy that is probably going to want his hand in the dirt, and, you know, I think that's probably his best fit. So, you know, you could sell me on any of them. I'm going to draft them all for the Falcons. And Sour Pickle, RAS is relative athletic score. It's like basically a way to contextualize all the testing for a position. So, like, 10 is the highest, right? So 10 would be the best ever overall athlete. And it takes into account size. And it takes into account your agility testing. It takes into account your jumps and your 40 and 10-yard split and all that stuff. And it spits out one nice number. And basically, that's the percentile you are. So if it's a 9.9 or if it's a 9.48 like Dallas Turner, that would be like almost a 95th percentile athlete at the position, approximately. So the short version there. But so anything in the nines, obviously, is elite. Anything in the eights, honestly, is very good. So you know, Latu is very tempting just because, like, if you want a guy that's going to come in and get like 7 to 8 sacks immediately, like, that's probably Latu. Like, so if you're really interested in that, you know, that's probably Latu. If you want the guy that's maybe going to have the chance to be that like 15 plus sack player, that's Dallas Turner. And if you want a guy that's going to play all three downs and be really good, and maybe he's only like a 8 to 10 sack guy, but also is going to get a lot of tackles for loss and just be a three down player, that's Jared Verse. So really, they all sound good to me. I could tell a compelling story for any of them. So
all of them help this defense. Yeah. So yeah. I heard a rumor last year that from, you know, through the grapevine that, or secondhand, I saw, I'm going to sit here and pretend like I have sources. I'm sorry.
Sources tell us.
No, I saw Connor Rogers on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast on PFF. Talk about going into the season, how he had heard that the Falcons love Jared Verse, that if Jared Verse had come out last year like a lot of people thought he would, rather than going back to Florida State, he had heard that the Falcons were going to take him at 8 if he had come out. So that's something for all the people that are Verse heads. You know, it'll be interesting to sort of see that, because that suggests that, like, Terry Fontenot is big on Jared Verse, but if we get to the pick and they take Dallas Turner, you know, that's going to kind of tell you the little power dynamics, potentially just a little hint that it may be more Raheem Morris sort of steering the ship and rather than Terry. So it's just all, again, obviously we'll see how that all plays out in 7 weeks, right? But like, it's just those little interesting things are fascinating to me.
Yeah, like I think if it was Ryan Nielsen here, I would say, oh yeah, it's gonna be Verse, like no question.
Yeah, 100%.
So with the 3-4 change, it makes it a little bit more interesting. But I think I would be happy with all three of them. I can't complain. The other question, and this isn't necessarily combine specific, but I am curious what you think. Like wide receiver at 8, if they do sign a Kirk Cousins, how much do you think it's in play if like a Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze is there? Is that something that you would be open to? Do you think the team would consider it? Because they're going to have the edges there too. So I'm curious what you think about that, because that's been something that's, I think, gained a little bit of steam with the idea that they might add a vet like Cousins, and thus signal that they're probably trying to go into a, okay, we're going to try to get this thing going as soon as possible on offense sort of mindset.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, Kevin. I am. The idea of Malik Nabers in this, I'm a huge Malik Nabers fan. I was a huge Ja'Marr Chase fan. You saw what Ja'Marr Chase did for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. And again, I can't promise you that Malik Nabers is going to do that, because again, it's draft. We don't know. We're just guessing. But I think he has that type of potential. Yeah. And so, you know, when people talk about doing over the 2021 draft, they focus on the Kyle Pitts pick and should we have taken Justin Fields? But it's like, if you could probably do over that draft, you'd probably take Ja'Marr Chase, wouldn't you? Especially now that you knew that you're losing Julio Jones. So it's like, I think Malik Nabers has that type of potential to be that, you know, super explosive, dynamic, uncoverable, Justin Jefferson level type of player in this league. Will he get there? We'll see, right? But
yeah.
You know, and I like Romo Odunze. I think Romo Odunze is basically like a better version of Drake London. Like, he's not as big as Drake London, but he's really good in contested catch situations, just as good, if not, you put up better numbers in the Pac-12 this past year than Drake London did in his last year in the same conference. He's a little faster. He's a little quicker, a little bit more polished of a route runner. You know, like, he does all the things. He's like Drake London plus. And like, when we talk about this offense, like, Kirk Cousins does not throw the ball down the field. Like, that's not really how he plays. He's going to be a point guard and, you know, get 12 assists and 6 points a game or whatever, that type of point guard. You know, maybe four, you know, a couple of free throws or something like that. but, like, you know, that's his game, right? And so, like, I think Romo Odunze and Drake London and Kyle, like, those guys can be very good in that type of offense if Zach Robinson is good, right? If he can build that type of offense. So that excites me. We'll see if it happens. You know, a lot of teams picking at the top need wide receivers. The Cardinals could use wide receivers. The Patriots could use wide receivers. The Chargers could use wide receivers. The Bears, I mean, the Giants, the Titans, you know, Brian Callahan comes from Cincinnati. He's like, if Malik Nabers is there, like, I 100% think Tennessee's taking Malik Nabers at 7. So whether a wide receiver is there at 8, we'll have to sort of see. I don't think it's, you know, we'll see what happens. We kind of need a quarterback like JJ McCarthy to go high in order probably to make the best chance of that happening. But we'll see how it plays out. But like, I'm very excited of taking a wide receiver at 8. I think this draft class is very deep. So if we don't get that guy at 8, 43, we got two third rounders. They can double dip, you know, in the draft at wide receiver, especially, you know, because they just need bodies, guys. Like, they're probably going to need 5 more receivers. You got Drake London with how much 3 wide receiver sets. You're going to need to carry 6 receivers on the roster. Maybe you keep Kadero Hodge as one, right?
Right.
As to play special teams. And then you got to get 4 more guys. So two free agents, 2 draft picks. Sounds good to me. So I'm all about that life of, you know, let's revamp this wide receiver core and let's get some guys that actually put some fear into the heart of defenses.
Yeah. And speaking of fear, you know, no one scares secondary coaches more than Xavier Worthy, especially now that he's got that 4-2-1. And even before we knew he was going to run that, like, we were talking about one of the fastest receivers in college football, maybe one of the fastest people in the world, even. I mean, that 4-2-1 is absolutely world-class level speed. So he's small, but he's also not just a deep, like, he's not like a, you know, I know a lot of people see the speed and they're like, oh, well, he's just a deep threat. Like, that's like, no, he jumped like over 40 inches. Like, he's super explosive. I think he actually like is very agile too. And he's not just like a one speed guy. It's like, well, I can go 1,000 miles an hour and that's it. Like, no, he actually has some nuance to how he plays. So I do wonder, like, if he's someone that's actually risen up the board to be a consideration, you know, obviously at the second round pick there, but any other like of those second round wide receivers that you really like at 42? Because if they don't get the guy at 8, you sort of feel like it's inevitable that 42 is a wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of guys that we saw at the Senior Bowl that I like. I like Ricky Pearsall, Florida. Yep. Roman Wilson of Michigan, of course. We got to give love to the local guy, Ladd McConkey of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Big fan of his game. All of those guys, again, separators, right? They get open, right? People like to pigeonhole them as only slot receivers, but, you know, it's really about getting open. And I think with Xavier Worthy, what makes him intriguing is, you know, I haven't really done a deep dive yet on his 2023 film, but I did see a lot of him watching Bijan last year when I was doing Bijan's deep dive on the film. Like, he, as fast as he is, he's not great as a deep threat, right? Because he's so small and he can get out muscled for balls. And so he can run past everybody, but you really need a quarterback that can kind of launch that. So he makes a lot of sense in that regard, maybe with Justin Fields. But like, the other thing that's interesting about him is, like, all you think about how the Dolphins use Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle with all the motion and stuff. And that's something that the Rams really borrowed and incorporated into our offense last year. And you're hoping Zach Robinson brings some of that. So I think a lot more with Xavier Worthy is his value maybe more horizontally with speed than it is just taking the top off. But obviously, with our run game, with team stacking the box, you'd love to have that threat on the outside that, you know, is going to put that fear into defenses. So I think this wide receiver class has a load of talent at all levels. Second, you know, I think there start to be diminishing returns once we get into the third round and fourth round, but like, in terms of guys that you trust can come in right away and impact, but there's depth guys that you can sit there and say, okay, if you're the fourth guy this year, if you're the number four receiver this year, you're not going to play a ton of snaps. You might get 15, 20 snaps a game, might get one pass your way. Just kind of take your time you'll be our Russell Gage or whatever it is. And in year two, year three, then you can start to be more of an impactful player and you start, you know, this pipeline of weapons that you can bring in so that even when you've exhausted the Kirk Cousins timeline, the Russell Wilson timeline, possibly the Justin Fields timeline, the next guy that comes in here is going to have all this talent ready to go. And, you know, again, we're still having that conversation of like, hey, man, you just drop a quarterback in this offense and the Falcons are cooking. I'd rather be there with all the other problems solved than necessarily still be in the position of, hey, we still need a quarterback and we still can't block and we still can't run and we still can't play defense and we still can't rush the quarterback, right? So you got to keep building.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got to figure out the quarterback. But I think wide receiver is a key building block for that future.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we taught like quarterback, edge rusher, wide receiver, three of the most premium positions in the NFL. Unfortunately, the three areas the Falcons probably need the most. So they're going to have to, I think they're going to draft multiple in this class, and they should. And, you know, even day three, like Luke McCaffrey, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. Someone who might have inside-outside potential, obviously got work to do, but he tested out super well. Malik Washington from Virginia is kind of an underrated guy, I think. Just absurd production, but he's like kind of like you said, he's that sort of underneath, crossing routes, you know, motion, very explosive. Not anywhere near as fast, like deep speed, as Xavier Worthy, but definitely, you know, he's thicker. He's like five, you know, he's not as tall as
he's
as
built really, like a running back.
Yeah, he's like 195 at like 5'8". So he's like, you know, thick little receiver, but great contact balance, great route runner, can take those dump offs, you know, and make something happen with them. So I could see them going that route too, but it's just, it's a really good class. And I think they'd be doing themselves a disservice if they don't get at least two. And like, I wouldn't rule out more than two, like, especially if they somehow, you know, if they pull off a trade down and get extra day three picks or whatever it is they end up doing, like, they need to load up at wide receiver, whether that's free agency, the draft. They got to get guys in here, as many as they can. It's in a bad place. No offense intended to, you know, CFL legend Austin Mack, who's joining the fray as well. But we'll see how it goes.
Josh Ali. We love you, Josh Ali, but, you know, I don't know if they're pinning all their hopes on Josh Ali being a 1,000-yard receiver next year.
Yeah, Kadarius Hodge season obviously is in effect forever, but, yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. But, Aaron, appreciate all your time tonight going over this stuff. Guys, make sure to check out Locked On Falcons. If this show is not enough to scratch your Falcons content itch, then Locked On Falcons is going every single day, which is far more, you know, content than I could ever hope to produce. So shout out to Aaron for doing the tough work over there. Anything else you'd like to plug tonight before we sign off?
No, Kevin, I appreciate having the conversation. We've been having an adult conversation about the Atlanta Falcons and not have to yell at each other about, you know,
We've just like done this for so long. We don't yell at each other. We just more like get sad or like get upset. Like, man, this like, this goddamn.
It's like a slight
team.
Difference of opinion, and it's like yeah. You know what? Hey, let's talk it out. Like, you know,
it's
let's,
very respectable.
Let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to yelling. So I really appreciated coming on here and having that conversation because, you know, every time I pick up my phone and go on Twitter, like I'm not having those types of conversations. No. So I really appreciate you giving me the time to talk your ear off about the Atlanta Falcons. As you guys yes. could tell, I was very gabby tonight. And so I had all this pent up conversations that I want to talk to. Yeah. Exactly. To get off. So,
oh yeah.
Appreciate you, Kevin. Appreciate
always,
you.
Always happy to be the sounding board for takes and a lot of good takes tonight. I think, you know, we'll see if they pan out and become like long-term good takes. I think they were like reasoned takes. I guess we won't call them good takes yet because they haven't like panned out, but they were like reasonable takes. So we'll see which ones of our takes actually end up succeeding or not. But always appreciate having you on, and I'm sure it'll be far from the last time this offseason. That's for sure. But guys, thank you all for joining us tonight. Appreciate everyone for hanging out with us. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. Thanks, of course, to Bet Online for sponsoring tonight's episode. This long-awaited, you know, post-combine mock draft, it will actually be coming on Friday. It's already scheduled up, so that is coming. Maybe even containing some of the players we talked about in our combine recap. Maybe many of the players we talked about. Maybe none. I don't know. You have to tune in to find out. So that's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. But that'll be Friday, and then I've got a really cool episode coming up for early next week, which I will be out next week. It's spring break, technically, so I will be, you know, once again, not here for free agency week. The NFL's got to do better with this. They just always have this during spring break, but, you know, whatever. But I will have a show coming out with Derek Klassen talking about the Falcons quarterback options and sort of what went wrong with Desmond Ridder and what we could maybe do right this year instead. So that'll be coming out early next week to get you guys really primed and ready for whichever, you know, probably very controversial quarterback decision the Falcons end up making over the next few days. But thanks for everyone for watching. Please like, subscribe. We have a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the channel memberships if you're a video viewer. Check out the Patreon if you're a podcast enjoyer. The next live will be, I guess, a week from Wednesday, but we will have shows coming out next week. So don't worry, there'll be some content, even though I won't be doing a live. But, you know, knowing me, like the second I step out to leave for my spring break travel, they'll like sign Kirk Cousins like that. They'll like be like, oh yeah, it's announced, it's happening. And then it's like, oh great, yeah, I could have stayed for 5 more minutes and done an emergency pod. But
this,
you know,
this is why D-Led was pissed about the scheduling of the press conference. He was like, yep. I'm gonna be in, you know, the other place for the Super Bowl, like why are you guys doing this to me, right?
Yep.
These are only content creator problems, right?
Exactly. Yeah And D-Led, come back to us, man. I don't know what I did to get blocked by D-Led, but he just had enough of my shenanigans, I guess. I don't know.
I was blocked for many years from D-Led, and then he did a great purge on his unblocking guys, and I was free.
Yeah, I think it was I responded to like Brett Jukes correcting his spelling, and I was like, get him, Jukes. And then I think that was what did it. I got blocked after that. So, you know, if that's what did it, that's pretty funny. Oh, I enjoy that. So I'll wear that like a badge of honor, but shout out to Brett Jukes for doing a great job making sure we spell various coaches' names correctly. I know I spelled Marquise Williams about 7 different ways until I got that one right. So
yeah,
that's a fun one. But thank you, Aaron. Thanks everyone for tuning in with us. We will be back in a couple of weeks, and there'll be plenty of content in the meantime. Until then, have a great night, folks. We'll see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. See you guys.